Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Mike Shope.
What has happened? Mike is not here. You do not call me to find out who to play in fantasy football.
And the Bulldog.
That is just not how this works. I don't know anything, nor do I care.
On WGR.
Gallman, save me now. Minshew, yeah, great mustache. There, you play him.
Sports Radio 550.
That's another thing about yesterday that bugged me. Wasn't just a couple of things that were said and that we didn't get into the Sabre jerseys. But I set up this fascinating fantasy tale and never told it.
Yeah.
How about this move? So then we can get back to doing our rightful thing, which is to talk about the Dolphins some more. How about this move? A guy, so two teams are playing. It's a big game in one league. This is the Flash Mob League, Bulldog, that you named a few years back. And one guy is down by a point with one player left last night. The other team has his kicker yet to play, but his kicker is on bye, and he hasn't addressed it. So what the guy who was behind did was, on Yahoo, you can cut players who've already played. I don't know if other sites allow that, but on Yahoo, you can do that. So he cut two players who were on his bench from Sunday and replaced them with last night's two kickers so that the guy couldn't replace his kicker in time. He had no place to turn, right?
Wow. Yeah.
He's like, I need the win, and maybe he just won't even bother. Maybe he's not paying attention, but if he is, and he thought, I'll just do this on Monday because they're both on free, they're both on the waiver wire, Minnesota's kicker Bailey and Chicago's Santos, I'll just do this on Monday. Well, the other guy said, I'm not going to let you. So he cut two bench guys and picked them both up. It was only down by a point and a half last night. His player was Jimmy Graham. Zero.
I was going to say, did that go well?
He did not catch a pass.
I know I heard his name at some point, but it wasn't.
He did not catch a pass. So the guy lost. The first guy lost anyway.
Yeah.
I respect the move. I mean, that's almost everything is fair in fantasy. Like, you know, the other guy might think, well, that's kind of a jerk move. Hey, there's a moves limit, and you had all week, and you didn't do it. So I'm playing you. I would have done the same thing maybe. I don't know. Like, with the moves limit, you'd have to decide.
Yeah.
You could have thought, with Graham, I'll beat your kicker anyway. But the guy didn't want to take the chance, and he made both moves and still lost. That was it.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm wondering. I don't know that I would go. I think I might have lazily thought, I've got a tight end and whatever. Whether you get a kicker or not, like I'm gonna get 8 points or something at worst. I'll get my points. So I've got you. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, without knowing who got cut, it's just a lot to go through to just make sure you can win the game, and then it didn't even work anyway. That's a little tough.
That's too bad, eh?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. So, we didn't make a bet on the Dolphins. But I'm up for it because I think they're better than you do. And we talked about the number 9 for 9 wins. What can we agree on here?
I think they'll get to 10. I think it'd be a good job to get to 10, but I wouldn't want to take under 9 because of their schedule. So
if it were 9.5, you'd bet over?
I think so, yeah. I think they have I think they have a good chance. I said earlier it would be a good job if they got to 10, and I think they're capable of a good job, I guess.
Maybe I should take the under.
I don't know.
Joe would like it too. Joe was like, they're gonna be 9-3. He thought, right? Is that what you said?
Right. Yeah, he was assuming these wins against Denver, Cincinnati, and the Jets, Denver, the Jets, and Cincinnati. That's the order. And that got a little easier, I guess.
Maybe.
I don't know. Like, Lock, in the last little while here, the reports on Lock sound like he's going to be in tough to get on the field this week. So.
Maybe. But who knows, right? You're saying it, too. Like, maybe that's not even a problem.
Well, Burrow could go off. I would not consider that a gimme, but if they go Brett Rippon, Joe Flacco, I'm going to be stunned if they don't win those two games.
Yeah, right. I know
the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Mahomes after that. You like him well enough?
I think I like Mahomes enough, yeah. Like, that's a tough one. He could go off. It's possible.
Hasn't he, you know, speaking of Patrick Mahomes, lines are open, 803-0550. You might be able to tell we're kind of off Sunday's game. Sort of normal for a Tuesday, but we're certainly open to revisiting it. Speaking of Patrick Mahomes, has he not really separated this year from everybody? Like, at this point in time, Lamar Jackson was the MVP last year. Right now, there looks like a big gap.
Oh, yeah.
Russell Wilson and the start that he had, but a couple of games with turnovers, and would anybody... Well, I shouldn't put it like this. I'm asking this, not stating this. I'm more asking it. It seems like Mahomes is the clear-cut guy in the league right now, with all the good ones that there are.
Yeah.
Am I forgetting somebody?
I don't think so.
Brady?
Well, the one interception versus what does Wilson have now? 10? I think he's got 10. Josh has 7. Allen has 7 interceptions. You throw in a couple on Sunday, and the number climbs up pretty fast.
Where does that rank?
I know there was I don't know. It stood out to me when I looked at the quarterback stats earlier, but I did not hit the tab to get like interception leaders. So I don't know where that ranks. But like the numbers, I was like, ooh, yeah, that's.
I still have Solomon Wilcott's page up, so I'll have to. I'll need a minute.
I've got it. Leading interception leaders in the league. Carson Wentz,
the most.
He has 12. Kirk Cousins has 11. Russell Wilson, Drew Lock tied for third at 10.
And Allen ranks where with 7?
Allen,
I don't
middle of the pack.
I don't care
with like 10 guys.
Okay, I don't care. Like I don't. I think interceptions are a byproduct of running your offense the right way. And you know, if you're Mahomes or one of the very best, you can avoid them more often than someone else, obviously. But I don't at all want to live in fear of them. I mean, that's okay sometimes. Just if you want to run the ball more and be happy about punts because you're pinning the other team down to their 12-yard line, I mean, I don't even want to know you.
Yeah, I don't want to be – I'm not afraid of them, but I also don't want to lead the league in them. You know,
like, right.
I mean, I want to throw it a lot because I trust that you're going to take care of the ball. Like, yeah, that's a part of the job, you know? So – yeah, just the number was, you know, it's not a terrible number through 10 games, but it's, you know, whatever. It's 7. It's a, you know, it's a healthy number. But Wilson, I think, has kind of fallen off now, like you're saying here, 2 weeks in a row. He's got maybe 7 turnovers in the last 2 games. If it's not more than that, I mean, he had 4 against the Bills.
It's still limiting, you know, this statistic, like most statistics on their own. Are incomplete, right? What one of Wilson's interceptions in the Bills game was on fourth down. And in the day, that's a field goal.
Right.
But now we know better. So, and Wilson knows better on the play. The play develops and he doesn't have it and he's rolling right. You know, he's not going to take a sack because that's a meme. He's not going to throw it away because so is that. He's got to just chuck it. He has no choice.
Chance. Right.
And that's Jordan Poyer, I think, on that play. And so... You know, it's equivalent to a missed field goal or a punt earlier on the drive or something.
And you know, to back up sort of what you're getting at here, you know, Allen had the two. He could have had a couple more on Sunday. Like, that's a little scary too. Yep. But the two did not stop him from leading a game. When it was one of the things I liked maybe the most about the game was that Allen was, you know, maybe off a little, or just, you know, he made a couple of throws that he would like to have back, or maybe more than that, and still makes the plays at the end when it meant, you know, I need a touchdown. Okay. And he went and did it. So it didn't hold them back from winning the game ultimately. You know what I mean? They still needed a Hail Mary to beat him, even though he threw it to the other guys twice.
And the pass to Diggs is just outstanding.
I think the greatest – the thing now – I mean, once you get past the disappointment of getting beat on on a Hail Mary to begin with, I think that pass doesn't go down. Like, we'll see how we remember it, but I feel like it will just get forgotten. It could – you know, the Murray play is being called the play of the year. And I don't think Allen to Diggs would be play of the year worthy – I mean, it would have been everywhere if Murray hadn't come in on top of him, and instead, it's just sort of it's almost like a non-event because it just got blown off the field by you played your best song and then Led Zeppelin came on. Sorry, you're nobody's thinking about you anymore.
Yeah, right. It was so good. That pass is so good. I mean,
really was.
The slightest difference in different directions or in speed, that throw could have just really changed the outcome. It was just exactly right. And Diggs is just, of course, because it's Diggs, he's completely prepared for it, and he makes that catch. Yeah. Just an excellent play. Here is Tim with us on WGR. Hi, Tim.
Hey, guys. I was hoping we could live in that future where these high-powered offenses actually start to become boring, because I love that thought and that conversation. Even though I'm loving every second of it now, especially because we actually have a team that is a part of that. And I just wonder at what point how they could possibly dial it back. You know, do you get another guy on defense or change scoring? Like the actual structure of the, you know, something other than a 2-point conversion, or I just wanted to hear if you had any thoughts of, because I actually think it's pretty close, maybe 5 years.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
I think something. I don't know what you do to prevent it from happening, but what might prevent it from happening is teams that. Like Mike, you were saying, 7 DBs, right? That'd be the norm. So let's say we get there. And you start to have, you know, more and more teams are going to be trying to build their teams to pass, but maybe not everyone is going to be able to do that. So I build my team, and I'm drafting DBs by the handful because I need as many of them as I can get, and I'm not really worried about big guys, right? So that I still have some, but maybe I don't have many linebackers or whatever, and I'm not equipped to stop the run. If some team shows up and just starts running it like crazy, and you're built to stop the pass, that's what stops it from getting maybe out of control, is that Baltimore still exists. Like, Baltimore had the MVP last year, and they were okay passing the ball. But their running game was the thing. And as long as a team like that still exists and is a contender, then I think that keeps it from getting too far one way.
Yeah, thanks, Tim, for this question. I think that's always kind of been the way in football, that everybody will describe it as cyclical. And then the running game returns once everybody overcompensates for the passing game. I don't know. We'll see. We're at like sort of peak time in NFL history for what passing games are capable of, and the league is complicit. I mean, the way penalties are called tells you everything. The league is complicit. The league loves it. But is there a parallel to baseball? Is there a comparison to baseball? And how, ooh, home runs, cool. And, oh, the shift is so smart, yeah. Wait a minute, this sucks. Nobody's bunting anymore. Nobody's stealing at all. Nobody's not playing the shift. Nobody's doing anything unconventional because everybody – sort of adapted to being a slave to the data, and now we're at this place where the game is kind of robotic and boring.
Right. Once you're all working out of the same book, I mean, it's just it gets pretty repetitive.
Right. Right. So a lot of I'll say again, a lot of what's happening in the NFL is the same. It comes from, like, the Bills have transformed, and I don't know if Sean McDermott would ever want to admit it or whatever it would sound like, but there was an epiphany somehow in that organization. It had to include him, at least. If it wasn't from him, it had to include him. Like, no, we're gonna do this with play action. We're gonna do this with motion. We're gonna do this personnel. We're gonna do these things, and the Bills are suddenly at the top of the charts with it, and they're winning, and that's not a coincidence. And the quarterback is doing great, and some of that is him, of course, and some of that is this. And other teams have quarterbacks who would love to be on such a team. That's what that's where we're at with the Bills. Even arguably the Ravens and Jackson, because that is we have that clip. You could talk me into the wishbone. Like, yeah. The Ravens are all about their running game and Greg Roman. And now, like, what does this season look like and sound like? It looks like they're all frustrated. We can't throw the ball downfield. They didn't add anybody except for Dez Bryant. I mean, what, Drew Pearson wasn't available? They didn't add anybody to supplement that part of their game. They must have thought leading the league in touchdown passes is good enough, and our guy's a cheat code, so maybe we don't need this. That's a super smart organization. I don't know. Did they get complacent? Is it even like a misread at this point to think this way about them? They're playing a lot of good teams.
Yeah, I you know, watching them Sunday night
in a driving rainstorm.
Right, exactly. Like I thought, yeah, man, are they done? Is it like they can't keep up? But then, you know, you look at the weather, the conditions. But there've been plenty of games like that for them this year. I think even not in driving rainstorms. So I wonder where they're at. Like, you know, I feel like a month ago, I very casually and maybe without any challenge from you or maybe anyone else would have just said Kansas City, Baltimore, they're on a tier alone. And I don't know, Baltimore is not there anymore to me.
Well, they were the preseason favorite, and they win. I mean, their point differential is great. They have some – the Colts 2 weeks ago, they were losing at halftime. They just don't give up very much. And so when you're playing games like that, you don't need – to score like on that sort of level. They got behind Sunday night. Everybody sort of knows with Baltimore that's a problem because of their style. Will they adjust? Now it's Tennessee and then the Steelers again for the Ravens.
All right, that's Thanksgiving night, isn't it?
Thanksgiving night. Then it gets softer for them. Their fantasy playoff schedule is pretty nice. We'll take a break. Thanks for the question. Again, Tim, love that sort of talk. 803-0550 is the number. Before we continue, a word from my friends at Pro Squared Flooring Solutions. So these are the guys who did an amazing job for me and our basement. And it really took a completely unused, wide-open space, you know, like sort of what do you want to do with it, into something really special and that I'm proud to show off. And I know that the guys at Pro Squared have used pictures. They've done this kind of work for a lot of people, even businesses. So if you're thinking along those terms, it's really... A lot of us are home more, of course, and maybe thinking, what can I do to enhance my living space, improve it, maybe even the investment side of things. Pro Squared is your answer for a lot of those questions. And the basement is a smart area for this because it's a lot of an easier way, maybe even a more affordable way to improve the value of your home. And, you know, the experience of living in it, by the way. So prosquaredfs.com, and this is for homes and businesses, as I said. Call for a free estimate, 810-0200. Pro Squared, 810-0200.
He's competitive, he's smart, gets open, great teammate. When you ask him a question on what's happening, he's right on with it. Usually guys that give you information throughout the game that you can trust, it really helps you. He's been a tremendous asset to our offense, to me, I know, to the receiving room. He's a heck of a player.
Brian Daboll on Bills receiver Cole Beasley. Bills on bye this week. Then it's the Chargers here next Sunday. Mentioned this earlier, just real quick before we get to calls. Think of the last time you watched the Dolphins and really wanted them to lose, not including games against the Bills. What was the last time? Here's a game coming up Sunday, Miami at Denver. If Miami wins, it'll be tied for the lead at 7-3 with the Jets next. You're going to really want, Bills fans will really want Miami to lose this game. And if you're under 30, ask yourself if you've ever cared that much about a Miami game that wasn't against the Bills. Like, when has that ever mattered like that? It is familiar to those of us who are older, because it used to be the norm. Just you always wanted them to lose. It mattered.
I'm sure I've rooted for them in games not against the Bills than I have against them. And that would probably just be games that they play the Patriots.
Sure, right.
Right, yep.
So that's coming up Sunday, Miami at Denver. Denver may not have Drew Lock for that game. They've been struggling. They're the new Bills, Denver, right? They have some good days, but they don't get anywhere. And they're sort of in the hunt. I saw a graphic that 3-6.
Oh, sure.
They were listed as in the hunt today on One Bills Live. I saw it. So that's what I'm sure they're in the hunt, Bulldog.
Oh my gosh. To be in the hunt now would mean what? Like are fans of teams that are in the hunt rooting for games to get canceled so that 8 teams get in the playoffs? Like, is that the existence you're living if you're in the hunt? I think that might be something you'd be talking about.
Well,
holy cow.
It's tough. There's like no like middle class of the AFC. The Patriots are the only team that have either 4 or 5 wins.
Yeah, I want to be the 8th seed and play Kansas City, who beats me 50-8. No, I don't think I do. I don't know how badly I want that. I'll have Christmas, but I don't need that, really. All right.
How am I getting 8?
Yeah. Well, you're down 50-0, and your coach, because he's not Bruce Arians, will go for it on 4th down and score. Yeah. And then they're going to go for 2, and they're running hot, 50-8.
Right. You try to make it a 6-score game.
That's right. Here's Ron with us. Hello, Ron.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Just a couple of things. First, I'm not really worried about Miami. They remind me a lot of the last year Bills, where we complain like, oh, well, we got to get 19 points to our defense. Can win for us, and Tua has done really nothing. I think last week he was okay, or maybe good, but this past week, nothing. The Rams game was, you're never going to, the chance of them winning that game was the chance of them giving up that Hail Mary the other day, so I'm not worried about Miami. I just think if they're going to only win on defense, we know that's not good enough to get anywhere, and I like our chances to win the division by 2 or 3 games still, especially with the last 4. And final point, hey, Bulldog, I had your son on. I'm ranting Ron. I had your son on a couple of times, and he's a great kid, and I really hope he does well, and I hope he's doing good, and it was fun having him on. So just
appreciate that, Ron. Yeah, he enjoyed doing it with you, and he's everything's going great as long as they get to keep playing. I'm like a lot of like anybody that's got a kid playing sports wherever, here or in New Mexico, is the case with my son. I just I hope everybody's being safe, and I hope they can keep playing.
All right, thanks, Ron. Here's Matt next. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Really well, thank you.
Just something I wanted to bring up with Baltimore and Greg Roman. It kind of seems like Roman's MO is that he builds these great offenses that for the year or two, they're like the talk of the league, where they're unstoppable. He did it with Kaepernick. Even here with Tyrod, we were putting up, 26, 27 points a game, averaging. And now with Baltimore, and then after, the league figures him out, or, they start figuring out how to slow him down, he has no answers. And like year 3, 4, they just start falling apart. Kaepernick turned into a quarterback that couldn't do anything. He got fired here after a couple games, and now in Baltimore, it looks like he's going down the same path, where, teams are figuring him out, and they can't really do anything, even with someone as dynamic as Jackson.
It is really interesting, and I'd be concerned about them too. I love what I know about that organization, and I root for them in kind. But thanks, Matt. Yeah, I think they are really going to be interesting to watch. What can they pull off this year? We talk about the Bills as being at a point where they need a playoff win, the division title and or a playoff win. Like you want there to be some evidence of progress in their results. Otherwise you're really wondering about them. and the Ravens are like a year ahead of the Bills, and they did better than the Bills last year, and they were supposed to be better than the Bills this year. And so if they end up with Pittsburgh, if Pittsburgh's three games clear and has a win over them, if they end up like 11-5 and playing a wild card game against Buffalo or against Indianapolis or somebody, they'd better win, because that would be 3 years in a row without that, and even more sort of scrutiny. And really what it can amount to is changes, and sometimes that's for the better. It still baffles me that Baltimore didn't do more in an era where everybody else is at receiver. That's what I wonder about. With all that, with all the credit they get, where was that easy rookie? Even, like, you know, everybody's over the moon for the Bills with Diggs, rightly. Look at the guy the Vikings drafted. I mean, the Vikings decided, we got a bunch of picks. We'll use our first-round pick on his replacement. Look at him. He's awesome. As a rookie, he's awesome. That was just right there for Baltimore, such a complete team, and they did nothing of the sort.
Yeah, didn't they – I don't know if you know this or not. When they won the Super Bowl with Flacco, didn't they change coordinators late in the year?
That sounds right. That sounds right.
I think they did. I mean, I right now, as the caller is laying that out, I'm thinking to myself, like, as a Bills fan, as someone, you know, paying attention to the AFC, the last thing I want is for them to make a change. I think, like, that's if they think if Roman is a problem. I mean, I don't know. I'm not there. I'm not on the ground in Baltimore, like studying it. But if they think there's a problem there, I think that that's an organization that will make the change regardless of when they think it needs to happen. Like, they'll do it now. And if someone unlocks them, say, and gets more out of Jackson passing the ball than Roman's able to get right now, that would not be good news.
Interesting.
I think it's coming. Like, it's not like they're going to just stay the way they are. And the scenario you're describing, like, if they ride through the season, get a wild card bid and lose, or maybe even win a wild card game but then lose, and their offense is problematic, then maybe the change is coming no matter what. What seems to be dying down is the idea that Greg Roman is the next hot coaching candidate, head coaching candidate, because he's carrying this right now, that they're sort of stuck somewhat.
They're
still good, but
yeah, their numbers are very good. Sixth in DVOA, among the best in point differential. I'm not sure how big their problems are, but some of it's obvious. And in a couple of games, primetime games even especially, which enhances this perception, like, well, they look limited on offense. They do have a good rookie receiver in Devin Duvernay. He was not a high draft pick, but they won't use him. They use Snead, who's a replacement-level retread guy. They use Willie Snead. He had two touchdowns Sunday night. They should be way better off, I think. Justin Jefferson, if I didn't name him, is the Viking guy. Maybe you watched him last night. PFF, he's been the number one rated wide receiver in the NFL 4 weeks this year already. Not rookies, everybody. Just Jefferson. And he was the Bears don't give up games like that to receivers. And he torched them with Cousins. Like, I mean, rookie, yeah. Great receivers are kind of everywhere. And, you know, by the way, so, you know, we're all talking about Baltimore in this way. What about New England in the last 2 years at least? Where is that guy? Tom Brady, we all knew this, right? Like, Brady was there last year. They were in first place all year. They had the best defense in the league. And they traded for Mohamed Sanu. I mean, you maybe blew it on N'Keal Harry when Metcalf and A.J. Brown and all those other guys were in the draft. And you go to N'Keal Harry, who you don't even use. This Damian Harris looks pretty good, right? The running back?
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah.
He was on the team all year last year. They just ran Sony Michel into lineman for 2 yards a play. Like, they didn't even try it. Who am I? I know. Like, who am I to question? Who's anybody to question him? But right. Here you go into this year as the Patriots, and last year, this is why they lost. There was Josh Gordon. Okay, that's your idea? Like, where was any of those receivers? And you know what? Look at our team. What did they do? Brown, dynamite. Beasley, a witch. Diggs, great. Having the best receiver year in the league, arguably. Gabriel Davis and Hodgins in the draft. We haven't seen Hodgins yet. McKenzie's useful. They all matter. I mean, that's a joy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what you might have there is, you know, you're comfortable with the idea that the quarterback is so good, he's just going to get it done. He'll get whoever I put out there off, and I don't need to invest a lot of assets in surrounding him because he just always seems to make it work with whoever I give him, and you know that clearly hit a ceiling, you know, last year. I mean, they were still a playoff team. They won the division, but, you know, they just did not have any talent. And, you know, I would suspect that that played a big part in the divorce.
If sports were cool, wouldn't you get to know what Brandon Beam thinks of these points? Like what the Ravens should have done and what the Patriots should have done? Like, wouldn't you love to know that? Who gets to know Brandon Beam's true feelings about these moves that those teams haven't made or anything like it? Who gets to know that? McDermott?
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
I think like,
family members.
I wouldn't tell my kids.
I would not tell my kids if I were him. I would not, because they would go to school and they would tell other kids, and then those kids would tweet it. I would not. I just wouldn't tell anybody. It'd be such. I'd be so mad. I couldn't handle it. I have to have this outlet. I could not. I could not breathe if I could not let it out. I have to say it. I don't know how those guys do it. I mean, wouldn't you just be dying to be like, Ravens, dude? What do you think? Come on, New England. What are you thinking? You got a chance here. You're good. What are you shy about? Anyway, hey. Also, just quickly, I'll just brag about something.
Oh yeah.
This week in fantasy on waivers, the name is Savon Ahmed.
Right, the Miami running back. Yeah.
And you guys, right? 2 weeks ago, we talked about him. Two weeks ago, yes.
Oh, sorry, I don't remember.
I forgot.
Are you sure I was here?
Maybe it was last week.
What's that?
Maybe it was last week. Sorry.
Yeah. I would have loved to tee you up for making that call. I don't remember. I do know. No, I don't want to say it because now it's the opposite of that. Sorry.
Okay.
I was thinking of you yesterday, and because I thought of you while I was watching Jacksonville, and one long pass attempt to DJ Shark, and he was a Rachel's fresh pick on Friday.
Yes.
But the pass didn't get completed.
No, he didn't have a great game. You're right. And yeah. I said, don't be afraid of Joshua Kelly, who didn't. I don't know. That did not go well. That's an L.
Yeah. Sorry.
But it was last week. I'd heard Jeff Ratcliffe talking about Savon Ahmed, Miami. And he was Miles Gaskin's backup in Washington, and I picked him up in a couple places last week because who was going to run the ball for Miami? They didn't have anybody good. So why couldn't it be this guy? And he had a very good game against the Chargers, and looks like now Gaskin's out another week. He's the guy to have. I'm like, you know, just saying. Anybody who listens to us all the time would have had that. You know, you wouldn't have to do it, but you knew about him last week.
Right. Good work. Yeah. All right.
So there it is. Savon Ahmed is how you say it. All right. I didn't know that last week, by the way. I pronounced it wrong. 803-0550. Back to your calls next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. All right. Welcome back. We've got a game coming up at the top of the hour, so that's exciting. Joe's working on something. We've been talking a lot about how good the Dolphins are today, as in, you know, like really asking, so how good are they? And I just tweeted this. I've tried to sort of push Bulldog and maybe also Joe into betting against me on Miami, because I think a lot of their they look, you know, it looks good actually. It looks maybe like we've been, or overall people have been slighting them. And so can I get these guys to bet against me at over under 9 wins? I feel like 9 is, you know, maybe a little conservative. I don't know. But then Bulldog goes, I think they win at least 10. And Joe's like, they'll be 9-3. And now I'm going to have to choose between under or no action, and always choose under in that situation.
For the sport and for the show, I would top out at 9. Like I would go, if you want to go over 9.5, I'll go under.
I was going to make the same offer.
I'll do that. I mean,
the other way, your way.
Oh,
I was willing to take under 9.5. Joe, do you want to do that? I don't know. Where are we?
Go,
I don't know.
I would go. You could both have the under on 9.5 if you want. I'll take the over.
I might want to do that. That's what we should do, right? We shouldn't be compromised in here wanting Miami for money. Right. It's not even that much money.
Right.
It's awful. No.
I think that's got to be the
I've already lost on them. I mean, what am I doing?
Right.
We're doubling down.
Double down. That's how – then we can justify it. If it's just a, if it's an automatic press, then that's fine. That's fine. All right. I'm in for under 9.5 wins for them with you.
Okay, same here.
All right.
Okay. Joe? Love it.
You're over. All right.
I haven't paid him yet anyway, so.
Yeah, me either.
All right. So that is then for 40 each. Because we owed,
yeah, right,
we owed you 20.
Right.
Well, sure. No, it's 40 or nothing. Double or nothing.
Double or nothing.
It's yeah. 20.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
I like it. They're going to be favored in 4 of the games, probably. That's 10. Just win the games you should.
One of them is this week. But they'll be such a slight favorite. I mean, they'll be a slight favorite against – they're like 3-point favorite against Denver.
We don't think Brett Rippon moves the line all that much.
What game did he play? The Jet game?
Yeah.
And they won.
He played against the Jets, 242 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks. I watched that game. I don't think he looked good, though.
No, the picks were brutal.
Yeah, there were 2 picks, like, pretty close together in the second half where I thought he's getting pulled.
What about Locke, though? Right. Come on. What about Locke?
No, I also don't.
Right, two guys.
That's the thing. I don't like Locke either, so maybe it doesn't move that much.
All right. We got action.
Yeah. Well, I'll be very invested in that game. I sure hope it's on because, we've got, of course, the bet now, a new bet on the Dolphins, and we want the Dolphins to lose anyway because of the division. And I've got Bronco activity all over the place on Tunsil's gas mask.
Bronco activity. Yeah. That doesn't sound good.
The lousy Melvin Gordon, Jerry Jeudy, and I guess that's it. Bronco. I got their defense too. But
you're 9-1, rolling out 3 Broncos a week.
That can't be possible.
Wow.
Well, Jeudy hasn't.
Wait till I tell Sig.
Jeudy hasn't been in all the time. I threw him back in this week, I think.
But it's a 10-team league. Well, I don't know. Wait a minute. Is that good or bad for this point? 10-team. Everybody's stacked. Everybody's kind of more stacked because it's a 10-team league.
Yeah.
Still, Melvin Gordon is a headache. Although, he doesn't rank that badly.
No, he doesn't. We talked about him last week, and I gave you his game by games because I have him. And I mean, not that anyone can't find it, but whatever. I'm like, I don't think he's been that bad. And I read the lines to you, and you were like, it's better than I thought.
Yep.
But this week he had like 2 points. I think this week he was
can't play
non-existent.
Him. Can't play Lindsey because the Broncos don't play Lindsey, and you can't play Gordon because he doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Now they have the Dolphins.
Drew Locke, one of 4 starting quarterbacks, more picks than touchdowns this year. 7 touchdowns, 10 interceptions.
Wentz. Newton?
No, not Wentz. Newton is right. 3 touchdowns, 7 picks. That's just throwing. He's got a bunch of rushing.
Yeah. I don't keep track of interceptions. We learned this earlier. I didn't know this category at all.
The other two, Darnold, 3 touchdowns and 6 picks, and Daniel Jones, 8 touchdowns and 9 picks.
Oh, sure. All else fails. MetLife Stadium.
Right, Giants and Jets.
That's what I should have known to do that immediately. Just start guessing Jets and Giants. Damn, forgot. All right, we've got a game coming up and a little bit more on the Sabres with the jersey announcement and the reveal of that yesterday and the latest on what hockey's plan is here. We'll do some of that as well next hour. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.